We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious, precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that the Holy Spirit opens the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us as only He can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and the key words are from a child. There's a saying that's going around lately. I first saw it on a bumper sticker, and maybe you've seen it also. And it goes this way. It's a warning. Don't grow up. It's a trap. And we laugh at it, but there's a nugget of truth in it also. And time has a way of going by very quickly. And I remember the time when your parents, talking about Jordan and Davis, your parents brought you up to the altar to be baptized. And it didn't seem that long ago. Now they're bringing you to the altar as kind of confirmation and another sign that you're reaching adulthood. And it went fast. They can remember, seemed like only a couple months ago, that you were crawling around on the floor and getting into a bunch of trouble. Now you're still ready to go out into the world pretty soon on your own. And I'm giving a different type sermon this morning than I've ever done in confirmation before. And I'm doing it with the permission of the parents. Usually, I give a passage to each individual person that's being confirmed. But this time, I'm giving them both the same passage. And I asked permission from the parents to do this because it is a little different. And they went along with it. And it's a passage that I think is so pertinent to what we're doing in our day and age. So the passage was first written by the Holy Spirit to Timothy. And it was a warning to Timothy, a severe warning. But then there was a promise, a way that he could travel through these stormy waters and gain eternal life. Timothy was a young man when the words were preached to him. I'd like to think, and I can't prove it, but I have a feeling that he might have been a teenager. He was young. And so these are the words that were spoken to him as the Holy Spirit looks into the future and basically tells him what kind of a trap you're in. I mean, you've already reached adulthood now. You're taking a big step forward. And we all have to do that. We can't remain children all the time. When we were little children, the world was a pretty nice place to be. And as I look back at my own life, it was nice because my mother and father made it that way. As I grew older and finally branched out from home, I found out that the world was not as nice as I thought that it was. And in fact, it's a pretty dangerous place. The Bible calls it a great and terrible wilderness. So we look at the words to Timothy, and these are the words to Jordan and Davis this morning, and really for all of us, because none of us have been faithful unto death yet. So we look at what kind of a world was young Timothy going to launch out in. And it's not a pretty picture. And as we read through it, just quickly, I'd like you to compare the world that Timothy was living in with what the Lord God says in Scripture. And you're going to find out that the ways of the world are 180 degrees different than what the Lord God wants for his children. It's shocking. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Timothy, you better be aware of that. You're entering into a very, very difficult situation. And it starts about in the last days. And really, one of the things that's kind of shocking, we're studying the last days in our sermons in the Gospel of Luke, at Water of Life. And when we look in the New Testament at some of the signs of the times, and when we compare the signs of the end times in the New Testament with the signs of the time in the Old Testament, they're pretty much the same. Shockingly, they're pretty much the same. And there's a reason for that. When Noah walked out of the ark, Lord God gave him a promise. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth. And that's a good translation. A literal translation is better. And that reads, while days of earth remain. So the shocking truth is that the day that Noah walked out of the ark, he was living in the final times. And that was over 3,000 years ago. So the signs in the Old Testament about the end days are exactly the same for the most part as they are in the New Testament. And it seems to me the difference is not the signs themselves, but the intensity of the signs. They're more difficult now. They're harder to bear now. And there's a lot more of them. So know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, what are some of the perilous times? You'll recognize all of them. Starts out, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that surprising? What's surprising is that's exactly the opposite of God's way. When the Son of God called his disciples, he said, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him, one, deny himself. That's exactly the opposite of what these guys are doing. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Christ said, no, deny yourself. Take up your cross every day and follow me. That's the way of Christ. So when you young people are entering the world, you're entering a place that Scripture calls a great and terrible wilderness. And you're surrounded by children of the devil who are living just the opposite of the way God wants you to live. So you're going to have to stand by yourself. You're going to have to be willing to be different and think for yourself and not follow the herd. Keep going. They'll be covetous. Now, children of the world are covetous. You probably noticed that. They're never satisfied. No matter how much money they've got, they always want more. No matter how big a boat they got, they still want more if the neighbor has a bigger one. We had a guy one time in our neighborhood that bought four or five boats within a period of 5 years because his neighbors kept getting a bigger one than he did. So he'd go out and top that, and then somebody else would get a bigger one. And he was never happy with it. We had a member one time that had eight sons. He had a very, very well-paying job over in Detroit. He bought each one of his sons a brand new car. And he said, it's the worst thing I ever did. Because they were fighting about who got to park in the parking lot and who got to park out in the street. He said, I wish I never would have bought them that. But that's the world, what they do. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers. That's scary. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin. And these people are blasphemers. That's part of the signs of the times. Not a good picture. Without natural affection. Oh, before that, disobedient to parents. See that? Not all of them are. I know children that are very obedient to their parents, thank God. But there are a lot of them that aren't. They're unthankful. Unthankfulness is one of the worst sins you can commit. Every day they're living, they're breathing the air God gives them, eating the food He gives them, enjoying the weather that He gives them, listening to the birds sing that He gives them. He gives them all these things, and they're unthankful. You should take it for granted. That's one of the signs of heathen people. Neither were they thankful. That's what the Holy Spirit says. That's a terrible sin, unthankfulness. Unholy, without natural affection. They can kill somebody and it doesn't bother them one single bit. And how many abortions are performed in our own country? Helpless little babies that can't protect themselves. And they're put down. And nobody seems to think about it. No big deal. That's one of the signs of the last times. Truth breakers. You can't believe hardly what anybody says anymore. They make a promise and have no intention of keeping it. That's the kind of world we're living in. You need to have it signed by the lawyers. It doesn't mean a thing. That's part of the signs of the end times. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce. But a lot of times they don't look like it. Christ talked about this stuff happening in the visible church. And He says there are false prophets out there that come to you in sheep's clothing. Oh, they look so good. They're kind. They're gentle. But beneath, they're ravening wolves. They're killers. And by the false doctrine that they teach, they're sending souls into hell. They're fierce. They don't look like it, but they are. Despisers of those that are good. Christians are being made fun of in our own country right now. There are things happening in our country right now that when I was your age, I never, ever, ever thought it would be possible that these things would be happening in the United States of America. And now they're happening every day before our eyes. Having a form of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's have a good time. We're living for this world. We don't care about the world to come. There's no world to come anyway. That's what their thought is. They're like Esau. Esau was a mighty hunter before the Lord, but one time he went out there and he didn't catch any game. And it went day after day after day, and now he was starving to death. And he came to his brother, Jacob, and Jacob was making some pottage, and Esau wanted some. He said, give me some pottage, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm starving to death. And he was the firstborn. Jacob said, give me your firstborn, the rights of the firstborn, and I'll give you the pottage. There were spiritual implications of being the firstborn. We're not going to go into right now. But the point of it is, Esau did it. He gave up his birthright. And his reasoning was this. And the Holy Spirit gives us a quote. So this is what was in his heart. I'm at the point of dying. And what good is the birthright going to do for me? Translation. God gave me a lot of promises, but they haven't been fulfilled yet. And his promises mostly are going to be fulfilled in what he calls the afterlife. But I don't believe there is an afterlife. So what good are all these promises of God going to do to me if I die? That's his reasoning. At least he's blatantly honest about it. But you don't want to be in that kind of a position. You don't want that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Okay, so now we look at the two young people that are entering adulthood this morning. There are some good things that are going to be happening. Get a driver's license, you get some freedom, you know, whatever you want to. That's kind of nice. And today you will be partaking of the true body and blood of your Savior for assurance that your sins are forgiven. That's a big step. That's important. Your parents have wanted this ever since you were born. And this is a big day for that. It's a good thing. But there are also some difficult things. We look at the signs of the times again, and where we're in right now on Sundays in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in 21 and 22, and these are the words of Jesus, some of the signs that he gives us, and they're intense, and when you listen to them carefully, you realize that unlike Noah, who was living in the last days, we're living in the final days that are a lot closer than they were in Noah's day. This thing could happen any second. Could happen before we finish the sermon, and it's not going to be very much longer. It could happen right now. And these are some of these signs that Jesus gives us. I'm in Luke 21, beginning at 25. There shall be signs in the sun. We've had that. And in the moon, we've had that. And in the stars, we've had that. There's signs all the time. Upon the earth, distress of nations, well, we've got that. With perplexity, people, there's problems, they don't know how to solve them. We don't know what to do. They talk about global warming, they don't know how to control it. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. That's happening all the time. Number of suicides in our country is way, way, way higher than it has been before, according to what I've read. Looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a building in St. Paul. I don't know what the name of it is. You can talk with Carlin afterwards. She knows. She's the one that took us there. And I don't know if they still have it or not, but every time there was an earthquake, somehow they measured earthquakes. They were going on over the whole world. And this machine or whatever it was, every time there was an earthquake, it played a song. And you could stand at that thing for an hour, and the total silence during the whole hour was maybe 15 seconds. In other words, there were earthquakes happening around the world on a magnificent scale every hour, every day. And these earthquakes are a sign of something. A lot of them were very small, but they were still earthquakes. So you sit there and you listen to that and you think, boy, you know, the end of the world could come any time. When they see these things come to pass, powers of heaven shaken, and then they're going to see something. They shall see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it's going to be a shock to the ones that are still on the earth at this time. We will not be. When Christ comes back, he's going to raise the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we'll all be, first time in all history, the whole family will be together. and we'll rise to meet Christ in the air. And when the last elect child of God leaves this earth, literally, all hell is going to break loose. And the ones that are down here, they're going to look up and there's that Jesus that we hated during our whole life. And they do. They hated him. And they hate the bride of Christ. That's been that way. And now they're going to see him coming in power and glory. And they're going to shake. This is terrible for them. When these things begin to come to pass, these are the signs that we've just read about. What are you supposed to do? Look up and lift up your heads. We should be looking up in the sky, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we're living in a world that's very dangerous. And your parents have taught you to live not for this world, but for the world to come. There's a kingdom of glory out there where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. And that comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you get it. But that's what you have to have. And that's why from little on your parents have been teaching you from Scripture. That's why they sent you to confirmation class. This was not, you didn't learn anything new. We tried to get a little bit deeper on some things, but your parents were still studying Scripture with you at home. That didn't stop. And confirmation class didn't stop it. It doesn't end anything. We were going through the book of Genesis. I knew we weren't going to finish the book, but I want you to finish it now. You're through with confirmation class, but it's not the end of anything. It's another step along the way, which your parents are guiding you in. That's the point. So God's answer to the mess that we're living in is this. And it's in the text that I've chosen for both of you because it's so key. And it's 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. But I'm going to add a verse to that. Verse 14 and 15. 14 and 15. And verse 14 says this. This is to Timothy, probably a teenager, young one, entering adulthood. This is the answer to the problem. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So you've been taught something. And you're not supposed to forget it. You're supposed to continue in it. The things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing that it's all held in the hand of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're a member of the family, and he loves you, and he's going to bring you home. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So, okay. Who did you learn them from? I remember the first day that I went to kindergarten. That was a big deal. I'm going to school now. I'm growing up. I went to kindergarten. And there were some blocks on the floor, a bunch of them. We were building things. And the teacher walked out and she said, I want you to take these blocks and put them back in the box. So we started doing that, and I got the bright idea, instead of carrying back block at a time, I'll stand there and I'll shoot them across the floor, and you stand by the box and then grab them and put them in. We'll wipe this thing out in 10 minutes. So I started doing that, and a teacher happened to walk in, and the block that I threw across the room hit her, and she was upset. This is the first day of kindergarten. She put me in the closet and locked the door. It was dark in there. It was pitch black. That was my first day of school. And when the report card came out, she gave it to my mother, and she wrote a note on the bottom that said, Larry doesn't seem to like school very much. Well, why should I? I mean, you get locked in a closet by the teacher. So, okay, so what you've been taught a lot of times depends on who's doing the teaching. So who did the teaching with you? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto... Oh, who did that? Who taught you Scripture? Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Mom and Dad. That's where it happened. Mom and Dad. And I don't know if you realize... I think you do. But what a blessing that was. What a blessing it was to be taught by your father and your mother from the Bible, which is the only book in the world that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's no other book like it. It gives you everything you need to go through this great and terrible wilderness and end up in Christ's kingdom of glory. You get it from Scripture. That's what the Holy Spirit uses. And you were taught that when you were little children. What a blessing. What a blessing that was. Now, don't forget it. And then the confirmation verse, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So this is nothing new. This has been God's game plan all the way through history. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Before that, there was no written word of God. It was handed down by mouth. But Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy, and this is repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament. But one example, Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. Take heed to thyself. Make sure you're right with God every day. This is important. It's possible to be deceived. There are people that think they're children of God and they're not. And at the final judgment day, they're going to be on the left hand of Christ and they're going to argue with him. And they're going to say, you're making a big mistake. We should be with the sheep, not the goats. We did a lot of things for you. We did many, many mighty works in your name. And we did all these things in your name. We preached in your name. And you'll say, I never knew you. Really? Really? They were trying to save other people and they weren't saved themselves. So take heed to thyself. This is an everyday thing. Christ made it that way. Have no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Today is the most important day of your life. Tomorrow, if it gets there, will be the most important day. But you got to be right today. If Christ comes back now, you're not going to have a chance tomorrow. You've got to be right now. Search your heart. Keep thy soul with all diligence, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and they depart from thine heart. Here's something. God always looks at the heart. And if the heart's not right, what you're doing isn't counting. It doesn't count. Because you can't do a good thing without the Holy Spirit anyway. So keep your heart all the days of thy life. Now here, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. That's interesting. Teach it to your children and your grandchildren. Do that. Next verse. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. It's the word of God that's the power. The power is in the word. And that's what the Holy Spirit uses to reach your heart, and that they may learn to fear all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Okay, I'm going to wrap things up. But I've got a question that I want to ask Jordan and Davis. I don't want you to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about it, and you know what the answer is going to be. I know what the answer is going to be, too, because I know your family pretty well. The question is this. How many times in your life, going back to when you were born, how many times in your life have your parents read Scripture to you? You have been richly blessed. There are people in this world that when they're asked that question, how many times has your father and mother read Scripture to you? They'd have to say, zero. It never happened. That's sad. That is really sad. You have been so richly blessed by having parents that from the day you were born, you had a contact with. They would be studying Scripture together, and you would be crawling around the floor, but the Holy Spirit used that. The Holy Spirit can do that. He gives faith to little children. And during your whole life, this has been the given. You should be thankful for that. And so when you pray to God for a godly spouse and He answers that prayer, what are you going to do in your life? Now you've left your home. What kind of a home are you going to have? Are you going to have a daily contact with your Savior every day through an open Bible, husband and wife? That's what makes a good family. And when you're blessed with children, what are you going to do with them? You're going to, I'm going to wait till they're old enough to make their own decision. Or are you going to teach them from Scripture as soon as they're born? That's a question that you can answer. So now we are coming to the